Have you ever felt like you're just scraping by? That is not God's plan for you. You know, we serve a limitless God, yet so many of us live with limitations, just scraping by enough with enough energy, with your finances, in your relationships. Today, I'm here with Pastor Joel. My name is Antonio on the Rock Life Podcast, and we are going to have a conversation about what God says regarding how big He is. So it's less about who we are and what we have and more about Him. So today, listen in all the way through as we have this conversation. And I know you're going to be encouraged because we're going to see how God has so much more for us. Pastor Joel, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you for inviting me to this podcast.
Absolutely.
Welcome, everyone. Yeah. I'm blessed to be here and to talk about the God of more, right?
Amen.
You know, we have an unlimited God. I mean, that guy, you know, I was thinking of this topic, and I thought of that movie Limitless. I didn't really see the whole thing. I seen kind of the trailer, but from what I understand, this actor took a pill, and it energized him to have unlimited power. I think the problem was that pill made him sick and almost killed him, but that's movies.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the Bible, when I look at referencing, as a matter of fact, Pastor Dan preached the message this weekend that there's more. You know, when we think that God's running out of power or His authority or ability to do things, all of a sudden He shows up in the scenes and blows everybody's mind, you know, because that's our God. And if I read the Bible correctly, there's enough scripture references. I mean, even the Hebrew word El Shaddai, that's the God of abundance, you know? And so when He was challenging these broke, busted, and disgusted children of Israel that were enslaved, He lifted them up with that word, El Shaddai. I'll be your provider. I'm your abundant blessing. There's a promise waiting for you, but you have to chase after it. He exposed from Moses all the way on through the book of Numbers of how unlimited power and authority and goodness and love He has. And I believe, Pastor Antonio, just me, people don't tap into that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting to note that, like you just said, God would kind of drop a new name depending on the season that His people were in.
Right.
Right. So it was like He would show, like you're saying, I am El Shaddai in this time of need. And He would show up in the way that we need Him. And I don't think that's changed, right? The same God that would reveal Himself in the way that the people needed is the same God that we serve today.
Right.
You're talking about being limited. What would you say are the reasons why so many of us, from what we're talking about, live limit? You know, if there is so much more and there is a God of an abundance, and not, again, not just in things and possessions,
right,
what keeps us maybe stuck or in this place where we're scraping by? And, you know, I don't know about you, the talk about me personally, seems like I'm on the rush, on the go.
Right.
It's like if I'm almost often running on depleted. I tend to wait to fill up until my gas light goes on.
Right.
But maybe that's a indicator of how I run my life.
It is, because I don't.
Yeah. Like, when do you fill up?
Yes.
When do you fill up?
I fill up probably when I'm at a quarter.
Okay. So you don't even let the light go on.
I've had enough mess ups and running, you know, the tank dry on the freeway and it's kind of issues when I was younger. I'm like, why do that?
So what's the parallel to life?
Okay, well, it is, but referencing the El Shaddai moment with the Old Testament, but look at the New Testament. So God crosses it over biblically, all the way over. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to abundantly bless you at all times with everything that you need to abound in every good work. So that sounds like an El Shaddai moment for Paul.
That's awesome.
Now, he's talking to a Corinthian church that already has wealth. So he wasn't referencing more things. He was referencing that they're limiting God in their soul, their soul expansion. They're limiting them. Okay, you're full of things, but you're living like you're in spiritual poverty.
So almost like having the things is not arriving. There's more still.
Having the things, calling God objective and saying my goal is for him to fill up my tank or fill up my bank account, God looks at that and says, I laugh at that kind of stuff.
Light work. That's light work.
This is like nothing to me. I own everything. My God, he's a creator of everything. Mm-hmm. So when we're praying and we're asking God, even for simple provision, where in us? So what are you ask me? What are the limitations? Primarily, it's our mind, will, and emotions. It's our own heart belief system. It's a cultural environment. It's where we've grown up in the spirit of poverty. I remember when the Lord was teaching me, you know, to expand God in my heart. My wife made this reference. Well, we don't have enough for that. And technically, at the time, we didn't. Okay, but I said, can you agree with me, my dear wife? Can you agree? We're not going to use that impoverished language anymore. Mm. We might not have it right now, but God can get us that what we need. And I'm not going to use that language because that's an impoverished language. And it's not that my bank account was full. My faith was full. My heart was believing that I need an El Shaddai moment. And you didn't let them down way back in the Old Testament. You didn't let Paul down in the New Testament. You're not going to let me down. If good. We ask in faith, the Bible says. Okay? And it's beyond things. I need salvation for my parents. I need this major job to break through to help others there. I need a mentorship program that I'm designing for these kids because they have no fathers. You know, there's a barrenness of discipleship and mentoring in the next gen. What can I do, God? What can you do to make their world bigger, to have a father that they didn't, to have a mentor, biblical advice, the narrative of, God, you're the Almighty. Let me teach them mm-hmm. that you're Almighty. Do we actually believe that? Mm. Do we believe that he's the Almighty?
Yeah.
Do we believe that he has the capacity to do anything he wants to?
Well, I mean, the first inclination, the natural response is yes, absolutely. But I feel like it's a little bit deeper than that because there's a follow-up to that question. If so, then what are you doing or how prove it, I guess I would think, right? Because, of course, I don't know anyone that would like, oh, yeah, of course. But yet we live limited lives.
I believe one of the key elements is we don't know how to trust him. Mm-hmm. Trust is a big issue because people have let us down. Trust is a big issue because it puts up walls. We say we love you, God, but I don't know if I trust you with my wealth. I don't know if I trust you with my family. I don't know if I trust you with my job. I can handle that, but you do other stuff. And when we put those kind of conditions, the wall of mistrust, which is culturally, no one trusts no one anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody trusts the authorities. They don't trust politicians. They don't even trust us pastors because they tell me, you know, I'm reluctant to when I'm in the street. Hey, what do you do? I'm reluctant because they're going to give me some narrative of somebody letting them down, mm-hmm. God letting them down, their perception of God letting them down, their not understanding really spiritual things. And I don't want a big debate. So sometimes I just say I help people.
Mm. I used to go to church, but...
That's right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I trust God when I was a little boy, but then, he left me abandoned, and I went in the foster care system, and they have all these narratives. Well, that wasn't God. That was man letting you down. But that definition has to be reframed. But for me, it's like if I'm going to live in abundance, at least the way the Bible teaches it, then I have to believe better, believe more. My mouth has to back my play, my faith. My kids have to see me saying, you're going to do great things. I can't even make, this test work, Dad. What do you mean? I'm pumping faith into them that the God of more will show up on their behalf.
Yeah.
The God of more is going to raise up this family. And by the end of our life, we're going to see some beautiful things coming out of this legacy. I believe in generational blessing. I believe in generational wealth.
Yeah.
Where's all that going to come from? Well, if we believe the God of abundance, the God that's almighty, then I can declare those things. So the limitations, there's many.
Is there a magic switch, a button that switches you over from distrust to now belief?
A lot has to do with testing. And sometimes we fail those trusting tests. Somebody will do a good work and they will want to see God automatically responding with something physical or something that they like, instead of it's just a seed being sown. The discipline of obedience requires patience. A lot of people aren't patient. And sometimes we want the cash cow God. You know, I want to pull that slot lever and I want everything to work out for me. And God is saying, okay, I want to have things work out for you, but you don't put me in that box, because I've created you and the ability to succeed. And I've given you scriptures like Romans says, for him and through him and by him, all things are held together. Just believe me. Can you believe me? So when I'm throwing my faith out, I could automatically rest assured I'm going to be tested by that faith.
That's good.
I could open up my app and see there's no money in the account. I could talk to my neighbor and see, oh my God, they're having, I've been praying for them forever and their marriage is still a mess. I've been praying for my family and they're still not saved. You know, my kids are having a hard time and they're having challenges with being able to complete assignments. God, where's the God of more? I prayed and why didn't it instantly? Well, do I believe that in him, all things are through him and by him have a creative purpose? Yes. Then I got to wait it out.
Yeah.
I have to be tested. If Hebrews 1 says this, all things are held by his power and according to his word, then I have to believe he knows all things. Mm-hmm. He can see behind corners, behind walls. I mean, I liked when Jesus was resurrected, he came through a wall. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Because he's the God of more.
Yeah.
Freaked them out, actually. Did they see a ghost, the Bible says?
Yeah.
What was he trying to prove? He was trying to prove of what he said all along of those 3 years. I'm leaving, but I'm coming again. I'm going to show myself that not even death can hold me down. And when he showed up to those disciples, they finally it clicked. Boy, he's the God of more. He's the God of everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says that he showed up to 500. He ate with them. And he wasn't a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He was a transformed God. Jesus became God. And, well, that's wrong theology. Jesus was God. But a wrong interpretation if someone goes down that line. I want to explain it correctly. He was already God, man. But he just showed himself transfigured.
Yeah.
And showed the people that were crying and broken because their master left. And there's more, and I'm going to use you to promote my gospel all over the world. A key salient moment to solidified mistrust. Remember who mistrusted? Peter. Mm-hmm. Three times.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with wherever you want, and then Jesus tests him. Crows three times. He feels sorrow in his heart, but that's like us,
yeah,
Pastor. That's like us. How many times have we're full of faith and fire and promoting what God wants to do? Oh, my God, we're going to win the city for Jesus Christ. Something hits us emotionally, and all of a sudden we're like, where's the God of more?
So, all right, I'm sitting across from you, and I'm someone who's struggled with this. My trust has been depleted in some sense because I've had these traumatic experiences, or I've had lack, I've been without, and yet I find myself in church and here I am and I'm asking God to show himself faithful, to show me the evidence of what you're talking about. What is there something I need to do? How do I build my trust? How do I find myself in a, because again, oh yeah, that's great. I can read the Bible stories about, you know, going through the wall and being there. But how does that translate off the page in my life?
Okay. I'll first jump off the page. Someone in that position, David, very broken, sinful, exposed. The prophet called him out. And this is Psalms 139. This is his action point, okay? He's taking the God of this universe, the God of more, and he's making it personal. Here's what Psalms 39, 7 through 10 says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee? If I descend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Behold, you're everywhere. You take your wings in the morning, and you dwell everywhere. He continues in that Psalms 139, ending that Psalms by saying, Lord, I am broken. I've messed up. And I literally unzip myself to expose every hurtful way in me. And I want you to heal those points. That pressure, that sinfulness behavior, and I want you to lead me out of this barren soul of mine to an everlasting way, and I will trust you because I am broken and deeply wounded. I knew better, and I went after it. I knew better, and I didn't do your word. So I am utterly broken, and I need fixing, and I need healing. That's Psalms 139. When people take the word and apply it, we could confess, I didn't trust you. I failed that test. I'm so sorry. Can you enlighten me and help me to do more? Because I know you have more for me. Sometimes we sell ourselves short is when we hit the wall, we stay there instead of pushing back and saying, tomorrow's another day and I'm going to go after more. What I couldn't do, I'm going to be able to through the power of Christ. And I'm going to muster up enough courage and sit down my family and have a family meeting and say, children, I let you all down. I let you all down. And this father's sorry. But God upzipped my soul. He exposed some things from me. And he's ready to patch me up and heal me. And I'm ready to do better. And I'm going to walk out that door, and you're going to see your father do better.
Mm.
If we can push back that,
yeah,
then we're going to see the God of more.
That's good.
Or we could push in impoverished mentalities of what the God really isn't. If he is that way, then why does Psalms 90 says this? You have been in your dwelling place from generation to generation. Before mountains were even birthed, you formed the earth and the world, everlasting to everlasting. And David says this, and you are God, the God of more. If I look at all creation, we're a bunch of around a bunch of mountains here,
mm-hmm,
in an empire. All we have to do is look up and say, man, that's the God of more.
Yeah.
And then it does say in the New Testament, hey, if you have that faith, have that mountain be removed. What's the mountain in your life? What's the narrative of lack? Why are you limiting yourself and your ability to do what God exactly wants you to do? Well, you have to look at your own brokenness. You have to look at your liabilities. You can't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
I say this in restoration class all the time because somebody was blaming me for being rubbernecking to looking back.
Yeah.
You're just a rubbernecker. I'm like, what's that? He says, all you do is look back. You're having people look back. I said, that's a point of reference, not a point of residence.
Well, that's good.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we look back because...
Hold on, just pause real fast there. Explain a little bit more what that means.
Okay. So reference is when God arrests me in my brokenness, he often has me self-examine.
Mm-hmm.
Self-examination says, a Greek philosopher says, this self-examined life is worthless. Plato said that, even though it's not the Bible, that's
right.
What he said.
Yeah.
Okay. But Jesus said, and Paul said, don't be afraid to examine. So when you examine your life, oftentimes we're looking back reference points of past mistakes.
Okay.
Past references of not trusting. Oftentimes when I'm helping people, they said, well, I had a dad that couldn't be trusted, so I can't trust the Heavenly Father.
So it's important to make it, and that's why, like you said, just a reference point and not a residence. I don't camp out, hanging out and poor just me, reflecting.
I'm a victim. Like, I'm never going to overcome. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. I've been abused. And I'm going to stay with that victim mentality. God, nowhere in the Bible.
Okay.
God says.
So if I didn't make you forget, can you go back? I wanted to pause on where that was.
So with what?
So you right before I paused you to kind of hang out in that self-reflective, not residence.
Okay, so self-reflection is where God takes a pause on you, has look you deep in your soul, calculates some things that he wants you to do and what he's going to do, and then go after more.
Okay.
Okay, that's the pausing. If people are running too fast and not pause, they'll collapse.
Well, let me ask you. Thank you, Pastor. I heard the podcast. It was great. I was encouraged. I want to live like that. I want to live where there's a God of more. So I'm going to recognize that I've had distrust. I'm going to repent. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to start to speak faith and get in faith. What does life now look for me? What can I expect to see?
What I always tell people, you take baby steps.
Right.
You're not going to go conquer the mountain. You're going to conquer maybe waking up and doing
well, your work. The mountain is conquered one step at a time.
That's right.
Right.
So if I look at the overwhelming odds against me, I'm going to go back to the God of less.
Mm-hmm.
But if I am declaring and believing through his word and all the scripture tells us of how big he is and believe that, that's a reference, that's a line of sight. So then I could walk it out in faith even though I don't feel like. A lot of people get trapped with, it has to be emotionally working out inside of me for me to be obedient. Rarely is that the case.
Mm.
Rarely I'm going to feel good for I'm going to then act. Feelings has nothing to do with it sometimes. I have to push back feelings. I don't like the situation, you know. I don't like that, creditors are calling. That's a ugly feeling. Well, then what God ideas are going to download to get those creditors away from you or pay off your debts?
Mm.
The God of more can help you. Do you believe that he can?
Right.
Well, you know, my dad never owned nothing. My mom never had nothing. Okay, again, the God of more can. Are you willing to take baby steps? Manage your money better. Look at options. Don't put God in a box that he's never going to do things that he wants to do. Why? The challenge I would make to everybody in this podcast, why are you limiting God? Can he not do what he said he would do? Can we not believe it? That's the challenge I make myself every morning.
Right.
What limitations do I see around me and how good and great you are? So one of the things I'm doing now in my morning walk is saying how good you are, God.
Oh.
How merciful you are. Even if I don't see those things in fruition or they're like, man, I got this pressure or I got this thing I need to do or I got to make these changes or I got to confront this situation. Boy, you're so good. You're so kind. You're the God of more. And I have to believe that this God has my back in my home, in my relationships, in my job, managing what I have. Oh my God, I need to buy a house in this economy. I got to believe that God has a house for me.
Yeah.
You know, downloading my purchase of my house. When I was discouraged looking at the market after my cancer sickness and God healing that, I'm like, man, God, I'm looking at the market. They're sky high. The interest rates are off the roof. And I'm complaining to God,
mm-hmm.
the God that I believe in more. And here's what he says to me. Very simple reference in my spirit. Didn't I not find a donor? Yeah. Then I'm going to find you a house. And within 3 months, I had an offer that I could not refuse. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when I went and signed the final document to the escrow company, I asked the lady, hey, how many years have you been doing this? She says, 50 years, Mr. Alvarado. I said, so you've known every deal. Everything has come through this desk in 50 years. How about my deal? She goes, it's the most peaceful. I wish they were all this way.
Yeah.
It was like, there was no effort to close this deal. God or more. I want to challenge you, Pastor. I want to challenge myself. When we wake up, we have to believe that God is all-powerful and he's an amazing God to save what he said he would and do what he says he can.
Yeah.
Could we do that? Could we muster a mustard seed faith like you taught Sunday night? A small seed of faith goes a long way. Mm-hmm. But it's my attitude adjustment. It's my heart adjustment. Can I proclaim things that are there that aren't there?
Yeah.
Can I believe for more of things that I don't have that I will have? Can I believe that the land of promise is mine and for my children? Like God leading me out of my own personal barrenness of Egypt and categorizing me into being in the land of promise. Yeah. Why do we limit God? Why do we limit his ability when he is the God of more? I have to believe that. Every fiber in my being believes that. And now that he's done some miracle signs and wonders, undeniable healings and restoration, boy, man, let me tell you, let me introduce you to a God of more.
Yeah. That's that reminds me of how, you know, you talked about, you're talking about our belief and it's so important to it. But, you know, talking about even the message on Sunday night, that's the misnomer that I think is a lie straight from the pit of hell. What happens is the enemy will create this facade of a spiritual elitism, whereas only the few, only the very spiritual, only those with deep amounts of faith, the ones that wake up early and go on prayer walks and read their Bible and pray all the time. But again, the lie is that only those ones are the ones who are going to have this great success. But it starts with that mustard seed. It's can you muster up enough faith that God actually wants that for you? I think that talking about baby steps, just believing that God might actually want something for you is going to be that one that gets you out of bed. Again, maybe you're not doing all the checking all the boxes that you see other spiritual elite preachers and ministers do, but I that's where the lie comes in.
I think it comes, and then they don't read the context. If I looked at the context of the Gospels, I looked at Jesus gathering his 12 and when he gathered them. If I sat them all down, and I don't have a reference because it doesn't say, do you believe in the God of more?
Well, it made me think it would be the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? If you lined up all the people that God used mightily.
Losers, crazy.
You're right. And so when you look at that, I think that would encourage us. Like, oh, if they did it.
And
if these guys
and they
are
did
doing
do it.
Right.
They advanced. Right. They believed the God for more.
It wasn't
they lit up the
their skill
world.
Set, their looks, their finances, their upbringing.
None of that.
Yeah.
None of that. Because he challenged the depleted.
Yeah.
He challenged the disenfranchised.
Yeah.
He challenged the misfits and say, I am the God of more. Will you believe me? Will you come and be mentored and tutored by me? Will you take me at my word? If you do, if you do, he challenges the disciples. If you do, you will be different and your world will be different and you'll change the world upside down for me. And every one of those disciples, minus Judas, did it.
That's good.
Everyone. So if they can do it, we can do it too.
Man.
I'm sorry I get so passionate about this, but I am not going to limit myself.
You don't have to apologize.
I'm not going
to
limit people on this podcast. Boy, we have to believe for more.
Because you believe for yourself and you believe for the listener today that that's
That's right. So make a list and see what God can't fill. Believe for God. You need healing? Ask him to heal your body. You need a new place. You need a new space. Let him open up the door for you and watch him. Watch what your faith will do. But don't limit him in the narrative of what you're hearing on TikTok or social media that God can't.
Yeah.
I don't believe that lie.
Well, our prayer, like always, is not that you just listen to this podcast, but you do exactly what you're hearing today, that you start with the steps. You stop the limiting views and mindsets, and you go after, not more for yourself, you go after the God who has more. Pastor Joel, pray us out quickly, and as we continue, man, this is such an inspiration.
Well, let me pray. As you're online, pray with me and believe this. Father God, I pray right now online, everybody that you're communicating to, I am deeply aware that people are just hanging on to hope. They have no reference, and they have no idea how to get out of where they're at. But if I believe what I've been saying, and I believe your word, and I do, that you're the God of more. You're the God for more for them. You're the God for more of their families and their next step. Help us, Lord, weak people are we are, to take the limits off our own hearts and mindsets and believe for more. For my children are at risk of me lending themselves to dire poverty conditions in their spirit. And I promise and I challenge not to do that to myself and to my generation. But Father, you're the God of more. So bring more to your people. Those prayers of the saints that are asking for healing, heal them. Those jobs that people need that are online, God, fill them. Those answered prayers, Lord, answer their prayer. Not to promote themselves, but to promote the God of more, because you're more than enough. You wrote your word, you set it in stone, and you said, forever, O Lord, settle in heaven, the book of Psalms declares. And I declare for everyone listening to this cast that they will be people of more. They will limit their talk, impoverished talk and language, and they will have faith-filled words and declare things that they don't have and declare things that they don't believe as they do believe them. That even though people have said, even though my generation has said, even though others have said, I will not believe their voice, I will believe your voice, because your voice is what matters. Even though they've discounted me, pushed me aside, they've blamed me, and they've judged me, I rise up out of the ash heap of those words that tried to bankrupt me. And I said, God, I will not stay down, and I will not stay silent. I will raise up every morning and believe God has more for me, more for my family, and what my hands touch will prosper in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we love you guys. Like, comment, subscribe. Share this episode that you know or with someone that you know needs it. I know I needed it. Pastor Joel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rock Life Podcast. We will see you next time. God bless you.